Let us pray together. Dear Lord, we thank you for your written word, and we pray that the living Christ would speak to our hearts today by the power of the Holy Spirit, and we on receiving your word may be believing and moving out then to live by faith, guided and directed by your word. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. Today's message follows on from last week, where we spoke about the finished work of Christ and the finished work of reconciliation that took place in the cross. So the finished work, part one. Next week we'll be speaking on the actual message itself, the message of reconciliation and what that involves. The apostles, of course, teaching the way and the manner in which they understood that to have happened. But today's message is on the ministry of reconciliation. All of these are spoken of in 2 Corinthians. And to help us focus in on that, all this is from God, Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 18, who reconciled us to himself through Christ. That's the done matter. Then it goes on to say, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation, and that is what we're speaking of today, the message or the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting the message of reconciliation to us. So as we take that message, we're involved in that in one way or another, and all of us have a part wherever we are placed in the world. God is working that through us. In the previous part of the reading from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, we learned there that there was a psalmist quoted, and the psalmist said in Psalm 116, he said, I believe, therefore I spoke. And that's the principle we're looking at today. The heart of the message is, I believed and so I spoke. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 13, the second part. We also believe and so we speak. One of the interesting descriptions, really, of the job of a pastor, I'm a pastor here at Clare Uniting, is to be the minister of the word. That's how we describe what my role is. In the Catholic Church, you might hear a similar person called a priest. We've avoided that terminology because it in some ways is far more applicable to the priests and the style of ministry that they had. We read of that in the Old Testament. But in the New Testament, it's the priesthood of all believers. So in order not to have that confusion, we say, no, my ministry is ministry of the word. And, of course, in a secondary and an equal way, I suppose, really not a secondary way, you're all involved in this ministry of the word. So what we say matters, and I love to think about the effects of language, the way it works in our everyday life. A book that I picked up many years ago just in a standard bookshop is a book called Words on Words. And it's filled with an enormous number of quotations from people. I'd like to give you some of the sort of area headings of this book just so that you your thinking will be, I guess, altered by this. So we have language, myth and origins, body language, ever-changing language, arguing about usage, language diversity, languages observed, teaching and learning, exposing language, reading, listening, grammar. Grammar Nazis out there, gets a mention. The art of conversation, saying too much, keeping quiet, saying just enough, quarrels and arguments, unfriendly language. Words, words, words. Words and expressions. Poetic language. Language in literature. The language of religion, proverbial wisdom, personalities, and so it goes. Quoting and misquoting. All of those indicate to us that the use of words and the importance of words is very much a part of human life. The way we say what we say and the very words that we choose to use. Today, as I'm speaking, my belief and understanding is that Jesus Christ, the ascended Lord, is himself speaking to your hearts, is speaking through and even in spite of, in many ways, the things that I say. His Spirit ministers to us in a profound way, but he himself, Jesus, is the Word of God, and that word he is speaking, he's revealing himself and speaking that word into your hearts and mine. One of the wonderful ways he does that is just through the simplicity of our human language and human interaction. I believed, and so I spoke. There's a connection between believing, having faith, trusting in the Lord Jesus, believing all that he's revealed to human race and to you. So you believe, and the connection is, therefore, there's a follow on, a flow out of that, therefore I spoke. Last Sunday, after the message of the finished work of reconciliation, The thrill to me was that the next day my telephone didn't ring with a complaint about the message that I'd proclaimed. Not that it often does that. But someone visited and called in with something to drop off to me. And by the way, and it must be your morning this morning, Barb, because you get a third mention now. And Barb dropped into me a little devotion. Some of you will have, you know, Every Day with Jesus or a similar little booklet that you might read each day to help you listen to the Lord. Well, she's just dropped it in and said, look, the message of reconciliation was in our devotions last night. I thought you'd be interested. Here's a little story. And she passed me a cut-out copy or a photocopied copy. And I said, oh, thanks, I'll look at that sometime. So I, a bit later that day, had time, I sat down and I read this devotion, and it was extremely moving and very, very powerful indeed. I'm going to read it and share it with you. You may have seen it in the newsletter. This is it. It was slated down for August the 2nd and was called An Act of Compassion, with a little verse from Philippians 2, 3-4. In humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. And then this little devotion from Lisa Scalio, who comes from Maryland in the United States. These were her words, her recounting of a story, and it's a short story. 17 years ago, my son was sentenced to life in prison. It was a time full of grief for many reasons and for so many people. As the courtroom emptied after the sentencing, a man approached me. I recognised him as the one who had carried the Bible to court every day, the victim's father. Standing quietly, looking into his face and not knowing what to expect, I was surprised when suddenly he said to me, I am sorry for your loss. In the midst of the most devastating event in my life, God had placed before me this gentle man in mourning himself to express his compassion and sorrow. When she says there, in mourning himself, I'm reading between the lines and guessing that he's probably lost his son, and is the victim has been his son, I'm guessing, or a daughter or someone, and perhaps wife or children. And so here we have the man who's the father of the victim, and here we have the woman whose son is the perpetrator. And he's come to express his compassion and sorrow. She writes, this man had shown me the kindest act of Christian compassion that I have ever witnessed. In one brief moment, through him, God took my grief away and showed me a picture of the compassion and love of a true follower of our Saviour Jesus Christ. That's the end of the devotion, and it closes with a prayer. Compassionate God, thank you for the people who show others your blessings, mercy and grace. Amen. Lisa Scalio, Maryland, USA. And the thought for the day was, I will give thanks to God for teaching me through others. Friends, you and I, today, in one way or another, Christ's servants, you are all others, the others that God uses to teach people of his grace and mercy. I don't know if you counted how many words that man spoke. I can tell you it was six. I am sorry for your loss. In six words, that man communicated what he'd been carrying in his Bible, what had been living in his heart, and what he'd been feeling in his own grief and loss and mourning. He carried the message for the world, and he didn't proclaim it in a sermon. He didn't proclaim it in an exposition of what God had done in Christ in the cross. He didn't quote a Bible verse. He just was so much one with all of that, that his six words conveyed in that moment the most profoundly wonderful thing that this woman needed to be able to move on with her life. And we have an example there, the finest example of the reconciliation between two parties for whom something huge had brought pain and sadness and destruction and probably bitterness and anger and regret and all of those deep emotions of a human heart that come when we sin and against one another, when we break that loving relationship. All of that was unravelled and healed, and by faith is now carrying through. Those six words from that man were so powerful. They've travelled across the ocean. They're here in Clare today. They're now in your hearts as well. I'm sorry for your loss. May God continue to add his blessing to your words as you speak and share. Some days you will go and you'll have a lot to say. If you're like me, I was saying to the earlier congregation, you might describe my speaking, my frequency of use of words, more like to use the colloquial phrase, verbal diarrhea. I spoke a lot when I was a little boy and ran around. My mum said that my auntie called me chatterbox, and probably I haven't really stopped, but one of the things this passage is saying to us and the illustration is showing us is that you don't need many words to convey at times the most essential things, but you believe and therefore you speak. And sometimes few words is best, and sometimes a lot is needed. Years ago, people used to have great speeches that lasted a long time, and there are many famous speeches. But however it is for you, if you're timid and not eager to say many words in conversations, don't let that be a problem. Let that be a strength, and may God continue to use the few words you speak, or the many, to be a blessing to others. Thank you today, and may God continue to use the message and the ministry of reconciliation to point us to the great finished work of Christ in reconciling the world to himself. And one day we will look back at all of the great river of love that's flowed out, and you'll be part of the little tributaries that join together, and Christ's ministry will be seen to do what he's promised to do. And it won't merely be an amen. There'll be every tribe and tongue and every nation joining together to say how wonderful this plan has been. And we'll ever give thanks to God, and then we'll go on with the job from there in eternal life, which is so wonderful. Shall we pray together? Dear Lord, your word told us today that we have this treasure in jars of clay, in earthen vessels, and we ourselves feel our human weaknesses and sins, our failings and faults. But Lord, we thank you that this treasure resides within your people and is flowing out through the cracks, the broken parts of our clay jar, so the light can get in and the light can